Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. You got your host, James J. I am joined by my partner in sports, the voice of Rapids Sports, Mr. Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, James. I just stopped by Phil's place. You know that?
Yeah.
But he was so busy in a meeting, I didn't get a chance to see him. But he did stop by the booth after the game on Friday night and got on the air with us a little bit. It's always good to have Phil chatting with
us. Yeah, that's really good to hear. That's awesome. We're going to be taking your calls 424-2600 because our phones are working, everybody. Our phones are working. They weren't working this morning. Our phones are working. Call up and join the conversation with your sports thoughts and feelings. Randy and I are going to cover, of course, some local sports. I want to get into the MLB season, your Brewers are burning up right now. Tyler and I's White Sox, not so much. We do have, though, good things to talk about, not Southside related. We have Tyler Miller in with us right now, Assistant General Manager. We are Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Tyler, how you doing?
Good. Good to be back in the studio.
Thanks for being here, Tyler. I appreciate the time. We're going to talk some Rafters. We're going to wrap up the season a little bit and review. Before we do that, though, I have to thank you not only for a great season, for collaborating with us all season long like you have, and the team has. We are so appreciative of that. And the stuff. We love the stuff, Tyler. Do you mind telling everybody what you dropped off for us here? Because I'm just going to play with it while you're talking. I'm just going to
I brought two of our cool promotions that we did this year. James is currently unpacking a Bryson Stott bobblehead.
So
Bryson Stott was a player with us in 2017. Most recently played on the World Series team for the Phillies last year. And he's making news this morning. He was trending. He had the pencil bat that he was batting with for the Little League World Series this weekend. So
we're going to be talking about that a little bit later.
Bryson was in the news this morning.
It's a tease.
And then also brought a signed, which I'm sure we'll get into. He was just named one of our team MVPs, Ty Johnson, a signed Los Rafters jersey. One of the black Los Rafters jersey that we talked about. Seems like one of the first times I was on here.
So, yes.
Kind of wrapping it all up.
Let's go ahead and start first. Thanks again for this stuff. That was above and beyond, man. We really do appreciate it. It means a lot to us. I got to get Chuck to figure out how to get a frame for that because that needs to go in a frame. That needs to be framed right now. You mentioned outstanding performances by a couple of our Rafters. Let's start right there with at postseason awards.
Yeah, so postseason awards, we sit down with our field manager, Kirk Schreider, at the end of the season and kind of discuss the season and obviously go over the good, the bad. But one thing that gets discussed is naming a team MVP. It's something that we like to do, kind of give some recognition, write a little recap about them. And this year we couldn't decide between two guys. We had a total of two guys that were there from the start to the end. And so we thought it was fitting to name both of them, Ty Johnson and Kalen Graham, both co-MVPs of the season. Ty Johnson, actually cool little thing, his final game of the season, he played all nine positions. He came in and did all the positions. He pitched in the ninth inning. So pretty cool there. Cool. So it shows the versatility of a guy that came for us. He actually is heading to Baylor University here this fall. Their head coach was at a small D3 school, and that's where Ty Johnson was. He got the job at Baylor and brought a couple guys with him. So Ty's going to be playing some D1 baseball this fall.
Very good to hear. Very good to hear for him. And it's one of the coolest things in sports when a guy does that. I remember Ben Zobrist doing something similar at a game a while back. That's so cool. Good on him.
No, he approached coach and was like, hey, this is something I've always wanted to do. And he's like, you were on the opening day roster. You're on the season finale roster. He's like, you've earned the right to be able to do that. He sure has the skill to do it. So
absolutely.
They weren't going to question that.
When you're deciding these things and the conversations are going on, is it strictly stats related or is it also off the field stuff?
Oh, it goes beyond that. Yeah. I mean, it goes as the team. You know, we talked about it off air right before this started, but just the way that some of the players buy into this community and buy into what the Northwoods League is founded on and what the Rafters are founded on. And both of these guys were great off the field, just as good as they were on the field. So always participating in off-field activities. Kalen actually went to a camp over at the high school, which was really cool in the season. And Ty was one that was always out signing autographs longer than anybody else, I think. He was just out there talking with them, talking with the little kids that were out there, kids that admire him and that kind of stuff. So not only on the field, but definitely off the field goes into it.
You know, that's one of the things Coach Beckman always talks about with the River Kings, too. He just says, you know, it's more than just the game, although that's so important, but it's more than that. You know, getting these young men to be members of a community that you're going to be in, because you never know where you're going to go. You might be going to Baylor, you might be going to the major leagues, right? And you just want to be involved. And if you can get start that stuff at this level, that's more power to you.
And a shout out to Kalen Graham too. Great season by him as well.
Great. I mean, again, another guy that's came in here in the transfer portal and is now heading to a D1 school with Texas State. So it's just really cool to see these guys develop here. Yeah. You know, and really get those looks. And I've again been here third season, and feel like I've seen the more college scouts, more kind of college coaches, and those kind of guys out here this year than I have in the past, just with how hard this transfer portal's on and in college baseball. And so college coaches are coming to these Northwoods League games, kind of trying to find their next new talent, not just the pro scouts like we've seen in the past. So that's always kind of something different this year that we saw.
Don't you think part of that is what the Northwoods League has done in the past? How many people they have promoted to the majors as well?
Oh, of course. I think it's, again, one of those things. This is not only the closest thing to minor league baseball on the entertainment side of it, but even the play, right? It's like that's when we asked Ty Johnson, you know, what his kind of thoughts were on the season and kind of wrap it all up for us. The number one thing he said was, you really learn if you love baseball during these 72 games. You know, it was something that some guys don't do it. Some guys realize they're like, okay, I'm not made for a 72-game season, especially a position player. I mean, he played 66, I think, out of the 72 games this season that he was on the roster, on the lineup in. And just really cool. He said that it was the most kind of prepared he's felt for something. Because that's, if he wants to go on to the next level, that's what it is. I mean, minor league baseball, major league baseball, you're playing every day, traveling every day. So,
and I think that's a big thing, the travel, right? Because I know we got a limited amount of travel here because most of the games are within the state. But if you go on to that minor league level, you're on the bus all the time.
What are your takeaways from this season as far as highlights? You know, everybody wants to win it all. Not only one team gets to. You get to this point in the season where you're looking back and their emotions are a little more removed from it and everything. What are your takeaways and the highlights from this year?
Yeah, I think the highlights for me are just, again, I feel like we keep talking about it so much, but it's just worth talking about is Bobo's kind of record-breaking season again after last year's season. Just a really cool moment for him, and him and I have gotten real personal just kind of knowing each other over the last 2 years. And, you know, I asked him kind of, why'd you want to come back? And, and he was one that fully bought in. He was like, he loved being the star of this town. He loved kind of having the kids look up to him. Again, the kid that got the home run ball came and gave it to him. And,
so
you know, just something like that. He was like, I know how much it would mean to him. So it's really cool just to see that transpire, is the whole kind of just the way that this community kind of backs some of the guys, and the guys just return it right back to the community. Another highlight, in my opinion, is just some of the tight games. There was always, there was always a saying around the field this year when we were at home, especially, was down one or two runs in the eighth or ninth, don't leave. Like, don't stop. I mean, this team, they never stopped fighting. We were a game back from missing the playoffs in the first half and a game back from missing the playoffs in the second half. But I think that speaks to the never give up and the kind of mentality that they had going into it, being in the playoff hunt the final 2 days of the season for both the first half and the second half. Just the really tight game, some of the, emotions that were at Winterfield this summer with those 1-2-run games that some of the times we came back and won, and even the ones we didn't, there was one or two guys on base and had the tying run up to score or game-winning run up to bat. And I think those are some of the big highlights, or just some of the close games that happen. That's what the fans like. They want that.
The other thing we look at is, we always talk about, we look so forward to the start of the season. I mean, summer's upon us. Next thing you know, you snap your fingers and it's over.
Yeah.
Now, what's it like from your standpoint? Because you're just in the grind all the time. Does it seem to go quickly for you as well?
This season, more than last, felt like it came and went very quickly. Again, it seems like just... Yeah, literally yesterday I was walking in here, getting an introduction with the show, and introducing some of our guys that we were talking about. And it's funny to look back at that and go, okay, so how did some of these guys that we talked about, how'd they end up doing in some of that? Because we had no idea when they're coming in here.
Yeah.
So it flies by. All this 8-month preparation for a 3-month season is crazy. But that's what you do it for, and you do it for those 36 home games that you get to put on at Winterfield this over the summer.
You're speaking about the months of preparation when you're getting ready for that now, because there is no off season for you guys, really. What do you build? What can you build on as far as the team goes? You guys are so good at promotions, coming up with new ideas for jerseys and different nights of events and everything. That I think is a fan base. We know there's going to be stuff to look forward to. As far as the team on the field, how are you, what can you build on from this year?
Yeah, I think it's one thing that Kirk, that again we kind of talk about, and we put it all in his hands. We kind of have hands off with the team. I don't go and recruit. I don't tell him, hey, we should go look at this guy, we should do this.
Oh,
he is a 8-year, 10-year MLB scout in his past. So I think we listen to what he says, and I won't give any advice on the on-playing field.
I got a couple thoughts.
I pulled him aside the other day and was like, I think we should have done this when you had two outs, you know. And, but we talk about it, and, you know, I kind of talk about what's your approach for the offseason, and he just flew back on Friday. We took him to the airport, and he's already on the phone, I'm sure. He's already probably spent time on the phone this morning with some of these college coaches, but his approach right now is reaching out to the guys that were here and getting their feedback, getting their coaches' feedback, because maybe what they told us in their exit interview before they were leaving, okay, now again, you talked about now they're able to sit and kind of ponder on that and what their time was like here, and their college coach is asking them, okay, what do you think of Rapids? That's the one thing Kirk always, our field manager, always tells me is like, I have to think of what they're going to tell their college coach, because that affects if he sends me guys later on. So again, when we're talking about just the way we carry ourselves wearing the Rafters uniform is something that, again, he wants to be able to, then when he goes to their college coach, their coach goes, oh yeah, anytime I send guys, they come back with positive thoughts and that kind of stuff. So it's how you build these relationships. So I think that's what he's doing right now, is just going back and touching base on all these guys that were here, some things that worked, some things that didn't, and he'll kind of move on to his next thing of finding the 35 guys for that opening day roster next year.
Speaking with Tyler Miller, Assistant General Manager of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. Tyler, I've asked a number of things, but for you, you're obviously not new into this, but you're still kind of learning certain things and learning the ropes in certain ways. How did you feel the year went for you?
Yeah, no, I'll be honest. I think the year went well. Again, this is third season, first as an intern, second with Chloe, GM last year was great. And then having another new GM this year kind of threw another wrench in everything, but we rallied together as a front office, as a team, as a game day staff, as an internship, the interns we had. Just was really great. I think everybody kind of rallied around each other, which seems to happen every year. You always have these doubts of like, okay, are we going to rally together? Is everyone going to kind of get along and do this and do that? Yeah. But they do. Every year it seems like they do, and they get here, and again, they put their Rafter shirts on, and they get right to work and get in the ballpark ready and all that. So overall, I thought it was a very successful year. We do an end-of-the-year survey. We've got about 100-150 responses right now. And again, lots of good things. But the one thing that I always say is we look at the good, we look at the bad, and we seriously sit down and assess that. That's what these off-season months are. It's that planning and how do we get better in the office and on the field.
Interesting how the season wrapped up with that good, bad, melancholy kind of thing. Because it's a note. We were talking about this before, and Seth and I were actually noting this last week after the season wrapped up. We get to the last two games of the season, and that last game happens, or that second to last game happens, and we find out, okay, well, the season's done after this one game. You got one game left. And the fan base, the players, it would be understandable humanly, emotionally, if you pull back and you don't just give it your all. Maybe you don't have the same thing. Maybe that ticket that you had for that last game doesn't mean as much, and I want to do this instead or something. So I was very curious to see how that went, because as baseball fans, all of us, we've seen our whole lifetime that teams, that the Oakland A's right now are having a difficult time getting guys focused on the game, the Detroit Tigers a difficult time with that. So these are guys that are getting paid. What about guys that aren't even getting paid to do this, let alone a fan base? That last game of the season was one of my favorite things I've ever seen in this town, like, period. It wasn't the greatest weather day. It wasn't necessarily a ton of reasons for people to come to the ballpark, and yet they were there. Everybody was there. It was such a great turnout. And then the guys on the field gave you a playoff game Like they gave their everything. They left everything on that diamond. It just, it's such an accumulation of not only this season, but what the Rafters have brought to this town. Win or lose, we truly do show up. This state does that for a lot of their teams, and I think that's noteworthy, and about the Wisconsin fan base. But it's certainly noteworthy locally here, where we're not going to win a title every year. But as the fans show up week in and week out. Now, it was so impressive to me. A tip of my baseball cap to this fan base, to that team, that organization, because that impressed me. You don't see that in sports very often.
No, I love the way you said that. We had our box office intern that had to go back to school. He's a tennis player at Carroll University, and so he had to go back and report to camp and do that. So I was the man in the ticket office for those final two games, we had 400 to 450 people buy tickets in the span of the 2 hours from the gates open to the start of the game. Those final two games, and wow. I know I was listening to last week's episode, and the rain and some of that stuff on that Friday night was interesting. But yeah. Again, still the people that showed up, and we had 25 people. Though you said 5 to 10, we had 25
right
at the
on,
end.
Right
so
on. Oh,
they were there. They were loud.
Nice.
At 12:15 in the morning. But We classified the final game as a sellout. I was out of grandstand seating, so close to 200 standing room only. Nice. We were upwards of 1,800 people in the stadium that day. Just really cool to see, again, like you mentioned, I think it's one of those things that people see the magnet schedule or the pocket schedule and go, oh, it's the final week. We got to get out there. You know, it's one of those things. The summer goes by so fast, and they're like, oh, the season's almost over. Got to go to the couple games, you know. So I think that plays a part in it. But it is. It's just really cool to see everybody. That last game meant nothing. And honestly, it was Green Bay had more in it because they were going to the playoffs, and tip cap to Green Bay, just won the Northwoods League World Series on Friday. But just really cool to see that, yes, even though the game meant nothing, still the last game, they're going to show out, our team shows out. The last game, that was one of the coolest games I've been a part of in my season.
And I think that's a tip of the hat to the organization, what you guys do as well, because we say this every year when it's like April. We're like, we cannot wait for the season to start because we want to win. I absolutely want to win. But win or lose, it's just fun to be at the ballpark, you know? If you're walking the concourse, you're going to the concession stand, you're in the stands, and you know 100 people, and you just have... You almost find time not to see the game because you're having so much fun with all of your friends that are at the game. It's a great atmosphere.
I have to go to more games because of that. Because when I first finally get there or anything, I'm saying hi to so many people. It's the fourth inning before I finally get up around to the game. And I got to go to more games.
No, I think that's just a testament to baseball, in my opinion. Yeah. I think that's what it is. You know, it was meant to be one of those games that, yes, you could turn your head to the side and talk for a couple minutes and, okay, there's maybe a guy on second by now, but you're not missing, you know, where a football or basketball or one of those constant action games.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes baseball very cool. And I did some of the stuff we heard was we talked about right away in the first episode that we had was the pitch clock type of stuff and the way this sped up the game. And people were noticing it a little bit. They were like, I turned my head for a second and it was already three pitches. You know, usually used to just be one pitch. So something a little different, but I think still that's what baseball's about. Is the more ballpark atmosphere is the one thing I preach, and it's a lot more than just the on-field play. There's a lot that goes into just the baseball stadium, and again, going and getting a hot dog and going to get a cold beer and that kind of stuff.
As we're letting you go, Tyler, I also wanted to send a shout out to Kevin and Joey, who did such an amazing job this season. Another great set of announcers coming in, and appreciated the work and them visiting our town along with all these players and the host families and everybody that worked so hard to make this season happen. Looking forward already to next year. Looking forward to talking with you again real soon. Stay in touch. We'll give people previews throughout the winter here maybe or something. We'll see how that goes. But either way, I hope you can feel good and keep your head up about this season. You should, man. You did a great job. Everybody there did, but you particularly. Nice work, man. Nice work.
Thank you. No, it means a lot. You guys, this station means a lot to this community. I can see that and feel that. And so I love being able to be a part of this. So thank you guys for all you do for this community and for the Rafters as well.
Looking forward to talking again real soon, man.
Of course.
We'll have more. You can find out more by going to northwoodsleague.com. Be sure to follow your Rafters all offseason because there is no offseason. There is no offseason anymore. No. We'll be back with more coming up, more Playmakers coming up right after this on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here at WFHR, proudly brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Shout out to Tyler Miller, Assistant General Manager of your Rafters. That was a lot of fun, Randy.
Oh, we could have him on every week, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it's such a fun guy to talk to. Yeah, we appreciate you, Tyler. Thanks so much. Tyler will join us again with Rafter News coming up throughout the off season here. We do have some local stuff to touch on. Or did you have something first, Randy?
No, I was just going to say we got to get Tyler on in winter just to give us hope for summer again.
Yes, absolutely. We got a little bit of a taste of high school football this past weekend, and it tasted real good, Randy.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I think that there's going to be like three games before school starts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You got to get it all in because now they have to have that week of time off. You know, it used to be that playoff time rolled around. It was like Friday, Tuesday, Friday, but not anymore. They got to have recoup time, which is a wise thing.
It's a really, I'm really thankful that they're doing that. You know, it's worth it. Being in football when I was in school, it seems like it would be so weird to be starting it like this. But the more I thought about it and the more people I've talked to, like parents and kids and stuff, they love it. They like getting the steam because we're getting the games early, but they've been practicing long before this, obviously. So I was curious to see, hey, are you losing some of your summer, any of this? Nothing even close to that. No. Just put the mouthpiece in and let's go.
Well, you know, they always did start practice usually around the 1st of August, so now they just get those games going a little bit sooner. Mm. The other thing I was thinking, too, everybody's been saying how fast summer went this year, and it just seems to be the mantra that everybody is sharing. And if you think about it, though, with high school football starting already this last weekend, I think that's part of it, right?
Yes.
You know, school goes beyond Memorial Day now, mm-hmm. and it starts the football season. So you got all the kids back together ready, and that's a really good point. Yeah, when it first started, it really did seem kind of odd, like you mentioned, that, we got games 2-3 weeks before school starts. Mm-hmm. But now it just seems kind of the norm, and everybody's kind of getting back in this way. And I think it makes the start of school a little bit easier for people who are, football fans especially.
Didn't think about that part. That's cool.
So speaking of football, we can take a look at what happened this last weekend. Wisconsin Rapids kicked off the football season on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. They were on the road at River Falls, and River Falls ranked 8th in Division 2. Now, there's a lot of different rankings out right now. Mm-hmm. And so just some of the rankings I'm going to throw at you are some of them that I found. Mm-hmm. They fell to River Falls by the final of 33-7. I believe it was 20-7. At the break. So Rapids is going to try to rebound this week and see what they can do as they go down to Stoughton.
Yeah.
That's never easy down there either.
No, I was going to say that, I know year in and year out, you don't know about some of these teams. Stoughton's usually pretty tough.
Tough. It was actually kind of a tough weekend in the Valley. Spash got spanked at home by Maquanago, but Maquanago is ranked number 2 in the state, so 35-7 there. Marshfield was blanked on the road at Hudson. Hudson's usually got a pretty good squad as well. That was 31-0. The Trees picked up a W, though. Everest wins on the road at Green Bay Preble, 40-21. If I remember correctly, Preble struggled a little bit last year. Wausau East, they finally got football back. They are so excited to have football back, and they started off with a W at Lakeland, 23-7. So I like that, right?
That's a nice story,
isn't it?
The way that played out. That's really nice. Good on them for being able to have that time, fill that team again.
Yeah,
that's
cool. Saw some of the interviews. They were so excited to have football back, and they proved it, too.
They deserve it, yeah.
Three Dubs had to go all the way up to Superior, and were 24-3. Hortonville loses its home opener to second-ranked in Division II West De Pere, 25-14. So not much to hang your head about on that one.
No. It was not a bad game, either, from what I saw.
Right. And Appleton West, the Terrors, they fell at Manitowoc Lincoln, 29-6. From the Central Wisconsin Conference small style, in a game that was heard on our sister station, WIRR, IRI, on Friday night, 10 touchdowns. 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
4 each by senior Manny Schultz and sophomore quarterback JT Schlafer powered the Royals past Nacita 69-0. Coaches agreed already in the second quarter, let's get that clock running, and Royals are still able to put up 10 touchdowns.
How many times have you heard of that happening, Randy? Because I heard that. I got to hear some of the game. Nice job broadcasting, by the way. I don't think I've heard that very often.
It was kind of new to me. I don't remember having coaches agree on that before. I know it's happened, but that was a new one. Assumption outgained the Cardinals 517 total yards to 12.
Jeez. So sometimes you don't get that in 2 weeks, let alone one.
Only 2 seniors on the Nacita team
Yeah.
But only 5 on assumptions.
Yeah.
So a lot of young players out there, and assumptions, young players really performed well.
I almost get uncomfortable doing this when we're talking about high school athletes. But we only got a game in. You know, you mentioned the stats there about the Nisita kids and that. But is there something that we can learn from this as far as assumption going forward here? Or is this a team to really – obviously, we're going to pay attention to them because of the coverage of them. But, I mean, outside of our area here, should people be paying attention to the Royals this year, you think?
You know, one of the things I noticed in the rankings that they were to be one of those teams to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's young. That's the problem. And they're playing without their field goal kicker, running back, wide receiver, all one player. Mm. Mason Kubis, he's got an injury he's dealing with. I think they're missing one of their linemen as well. So they're missing a couple of seniors. One thing that I think we already knew, but I think it came to fruition on Friday night was JT Schlafer is quite an athlete.
Yeah, that kid can move. Oh,
you know, just watching him in basketball last year as a freshman. You could tell he was smooth. You know, just an athlete. And after the game, went up to him, you know, and just told him nice game, chatted with him a little bit. And yeah, I forget how big he is. You know,
he's a big kid.
He's a tall, big kid. You know, and he's going to be a force, and he's only a sophomore.
I was going to ask. I thought I saw that he was a sophomore last year. A freshman last year. I'm like, well, that kid's only a sophomore,
and he's never played football before.
That I did not know. Really,
and I'll tell you. You know, in this one game, and it's a small sample size, but he did a great job of, you know, ball fakes, you know, pulling it out of the belly on the dive, and making the pitches. I mean, those are things that usually take a long time to develop, and just that coordination between the running backs and the quarterback. And I thought he handled himself very well.
I think the biggest thing that gets lost by your average football fan is the chemistry and how important that is, and how. You know, it can seem ridiculous to fan bases sometimes. Why are they doing this play 20 times in a row over and over again? Just a simple handoff or whatever. And then you see in a regular season game being cost because the backup quarterback couldn't realign with the third string running back and they fumble the ball or something like that. Even when, first stringers do it sometimes, let alone anybody, you know, backups doing it.
First play of the game, they snapped it over the quarterback's head and did Nisita. So right there, you know, just the exchange on the snap, there was a perfect example.
It's I talk about it sometimes as if it's theater, because if you throw a bunch of actors out there, you know, with no time to rehearse or prepare or anything like that, you're going to see you're not going to see anything that anybody wants to watch, let alone pay to watch. That's how this is. Football is so much like that, and football is quite a little bit like theater when you think about all the drama and everything else too.
Kind of interesting when we think about how they talk about how they develop that chemistry between like Jordan Love and his receivers, right?
Yeah.
Well, we could see that on Friday night as well, because they went to a whole new system to Nisita this year. They had 5 wideouts. Sometimes they had 6, sometimes 4, but I don't think they ever had less than four, and he was always in the shotgun. But there was times that he had more passes that looked like they were intended for the assumption kids, just because, you know, the receiver would turn to the outside instead of the inside.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that. Which are huge.
Yes.
You know, pass pattern, obviously.
Yeah, but you're right, though. They're little things that build up to the big thing. How many times do we... Well, the Eagles play in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, the quarterback sneak kind of thing that they did, the loop-de-loo. They were practicing that before the season even started. And then kind of tucked it away, and they practice it here and there and stuff, and lo and behold, look where they end up using it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing is so interesting to me about football when it comes to that.
Right.
But we have talked a bit of football already. Do you have some more?
Yep, sorry.
That just
got us into it.
That's all right. That's all right.
More from the CWC Small Eye Scan. Shakshayakton, 32-7. Loyal got leveled at Abbotsford, 36-16. Rosholt got rolled at St. Mary Catholic, 49-0. And on Saturday at Gurkey Field, Stevens Point Pacelli clobbered Catholic Central 54-18. Now a member of the Central Wisconsin Large. That's so weird. They're not in the South Central anymore, Nakusa.
Yeah. I have not gotten used to that yet.
Yeah, it's going to take some time, I think. The Nakusa Papermakers opened the season with a home victory 40-18 over Ripon. Kudos to them. Nash Kretschmar, of course, you talk about good athletes. Nash Kretschmar, the quarterback, he's a great basketball player, good football player, right? So Nakusaw gains the Tigers 468 to 183 in total yardage. Another good athlete for them, Francisco Vega, on the ground, 125 and three touchdowns.
I like the way that kid runs, too. Yeah, he's got the knee-up thing that I like in a good running back.
Yeah, just fun watching Nakusa.
So. Hopefully a sign of things to come for them in that division.
Exactly. Elsewhere in the CWC large, Amherst got a bit of revenge after the way last year ended.
Yeah.
That whole mess that happened over there. They clobbered Clintonville pretty good, 65-19. Third-ranked Stratford went on the road. They're ranked in Division 6. Mm. They mauled ninth-ranked in Division 3, Mozanie. So, you know, you go up a couple of three divisions, and they're a ranked team, and you win 33-14.
That's impressive.
Stratford's always good, right?
Yeah, they seem to be,
Whitburn annihilates Antigo, 56-7. Spencer, Columbus Catholic, got stomped by St. Croix Central, 70-0. Manawa won at Shatek Weyerhauser, 42-7. And Wyawega Fremont beat Belleville, 37-28. Eight-man football will get underway this week. Port Edwards will entertain Rib Lake Prentice on Friday afternoon. Also, the volleyball and soccer seasons are going to get underway either this week or in the weeks to come. So it's not going to take long till even more high school sports will be on the air.
Looking forward to it, and looking forward to more and more of your coverage, Randy. Thank you so much for that. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's always fun to follow.
Great games from this season, too. And we're going to have some time to talk high school football, although we'll talk anything you want to talk, 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. I want to shift into baseball just for a moment, Randy, because this last week, since the last time we were on the air, just a fascinating week in baseball. Now, if you want to look at Max Scherzer moving up to number 11 on the strikeout list, or what Julio Rodriguez has been doing in Seattle with the hit streak and these things, all impressive, and I don't mind talking about any of those, especially if we have time for it. But if Wisconsin doesn't mind, I'd like to talk Brewers.
Okay.
I feel like you guys could be all right with that.
Yeah.
Because, wow. There's getting hot at the right time, and then there's what the Brewers have been doing over the last two series against teams that I don't think Vegas had this as the turnout from these series. It's been impressive. I'm a Brewer fan adjacent. I've never minded the Brewers, but it's having my little brother being a big Brewer fan, my daughters, you know, these things that have really pulled me in and root for the team and stuff, especially with my team being as bad as it is. But I'm excited. I've been enjoying this. I can't imagine what you guys are thinking or feeling. It's got to be so much more deeper and palpable. This is what baseball is all about. You and Tyler and I were just talking about this. All you can hope for is towards the end of the season to have some excitement, to be in the run of things. And I don't know if anybody else has done this, but I've been looking ahead at the schedule with the Brewers and how it wraps up for the season and how the some of the odds are. When it comes to remaining strength of schedule, the Brewers are in good seating when it comes to that. This, according to the Tankathon and along with baseballstats.com, the Brewers' strength of schedule is all the way at 22nd.
Mm.
So, not bad. Nothing too heavy coming up here. Looks like we've got series with Philly, Chicago, Minnesota, and Miami. Those are coming. Those are your toughest opponents coming up. Not a murderer's row, necessarily. The easier opponents coming up, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Washington, San Diego, and New York. Side note, San Diego and New York are considered easy, which is just weird and hilarious to me. But with all this, Brewers' odds of getting into the playoffs just skyrocketing over the last week. That's been impressive. The excitement and the fun from these guys. Rowdy Tellez comes back, and he's a good guy. The fans like him. The team really likes him. But something about him and Carlos Santana being on the same out there, I was hearing counsel and some guys talking about this and everything, and it's like whether these guys get hits or not, they're contributing. And I thought that was noteworthy. You know, I thought that was really interesting to hear. Certainly, sometimes coaches are going to do coach talk, but that was unsolicited. He didn't have to include that. It was more so him kind of like, you're not going to see this on the stat sheet, but Rowdy's one heck of a clubhouse guy. Carlos is one heck of a clubhouse guy. I don't think that stuff, I don't think that it's a coincidence you have that along with what's just happened in the last couple of series.
It's fun, right? Being a Brewers fan, you know, just having that extra left-handed bat in the lineup with Rowdy, that's always huge. And, of course, Carlos is a switch hitter, so it's another left-handed hit. And I think he hits better from the left side, but that's just me personally. Mm-hmm. I didn't look at the stats on that. The other thing is they could have, would have, right? That game against the Dodgers, they lost 1-0 when Corbin Burns just threw that beautiful game.
Yeah.
That one just kind of stung. Otherwise, they would have won 7 out of 9 on that road trip. Mm. And they still ended up winning, you know, 6 out of 9. They took 3 from the White Sox, and then they lost the 3 to the Dodgers. And now they just took 3 from Texas, which I think surprised everybody.
Yes.
And then beating Scherzer yesterday, that was, you know, because he had what? He had won like, oh, what was it, 12 or last 14?
12, yeah, 12,
15 14. Maybe, something like that, yeah. So the thing that kind of struck, we're watching it, you know, my grandsons and I, and we're watching, we're like, boy, we just did not hit well against the Dodgers. And the Dodgers, they are professional hitters.
Yeah.
I mean, the comment we had amongst each other was, wouldn't it be fun to watch the Dodgers and the Braves? Because we just play the Braves, and the Braves hit the ball well, too. And I said, well, maybe the difference might be the Braves, they've got a good 9, you know, 1 through 9. You look at the Dodgers, they would pull a guy who was 2 for 3 and bring in a guy off the bench to hit. That's how deep they are.
Yeah. I mean,
they got like 14 guys that can hit, you know, and they just don't seem to swing at bad pitches. And every once in a while, you know, don't want to pick on Mr. Adames, but there, you know, you go low and away on him, and he sometimes likes to chase a little bit. He got a little bit hotter here at the end of the series, so that was good to see. But they just didn't seem, they're just professional hitters. You know, they just know the strike zone and they don't chase very often. They make you throw good pitches.
It's like the baseball gods wanted to humble the Dodgers. Because if they even had half the pitching going for them this year that they were supposed to coming into the season, they'd be unstoppable right now. They'd be the team. Nobody even be thinking about beating somebody. The Dodgers, you're so right about this, with the depth. They during the trade deadline, they got rid of a couple of guys, and it was like nothing for them because they're so much deep. They're so deeper than so many other teams.
Seager's on Texas, right? And do you know, remember he was a Dodger?
That's another great point by you. When you can let certain guys go and you don't even feel it, that's impressive.
Oh.
And all this, too, and they have one of the, I believe, in the top 5 scouting systems in baseball. Mm. I mean, so there's guys that are sitting back there. We are going to be a while before we hear from them because they got so many other talent, much other players.
Right. And then those are guys that you can possibly trade.
Right.
Right. If you really need somebody, if somebody gets hurt for you or whatever. You know, the interesting thing is if the Brewers can get healthy in their pitches, stay healthy. You know, you got Burns, you got Woodruff, you got Peralta, you got Miley. Even Hauser was good yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get in a short series and you got 5 guys like that, right?
I'm telling you,
there's always a chance. You got to get the hits. You got to get some runs. But if you can get the bats going a little bit, I'll tell you what, you probably don't want to play the Brewers in the playoffs if they were happening right now.
Looking at Fangraph.com, 68-57 on the season. They were projected to win 87 games, so on pace for that by far. The strength of schedule at 500, which is stronger than the Cubs, Reds, Pirates, or Cardinals. So have had a harder schedule than any of these other teams in their division as well, and still leading this division. They have a 72.6% chance of winning the division, 0.4% of clinching a bye, so that probably isn't going to happen. But clinching a wild card, 15.9%, and as far as making the playoffs, the Brewers have one of the highest percentages for making the playoffs of any team left, with 88.4%. And again, this is at Fangraphs.com. You can find this information. So a lot to be excited about, even if it just means give me another week. Give me another week of baseball. Just give me one more week, you know. Whether we win or lose, get my team in, and we'll see what happens. We especially have seen in the last couple of seasons, anything can happen when you get in there.
We always say that about football with the Packers. We say, you know, make the playoffs so we have one less week of winter.
Yes.
Right? get us through another week of January.
Yes. 424-2600 is the number to call. I want to know how you feel about your Brewers. If you're excited, what's going on with your how your heart feels, you're up and down. Have you been paying attention, or are you just focused on football already? I mean, I want to know what people are thinking. I'm curious because I think the low-hanging fruit is to talk football right now.
Right.
And I don't mind doing that. We'll talk about whatever you guys want to. But I love preseason football more than most. I since I was a little kid, I really got into college football, and a lot of the guys, like I told you before, Randy, like a Garrett Wolf or somebody like that, I knew the only chance of seeing him in a Bear uniform was in the preseason.
Right.
That kind of thing. So I'll talk preseason football all you guys want. But to me, it's such a The same people that are hyping up Jordan Love right now are the same people saying that Justin Fields is an MVP candidate. Like, they're just trying to fill airtime. I don't know if they genuinely believe any of this. It's a different thing when I hear somebody that I know actually believes in what they're talking about. They're not just trying to fill time. I don't disagree with any of these statements and anything that's going on out there right now. There's just not the data to back it up.
It's all speculation, right?
It's just specs. It's just speculation. Yep. And when it comes to that, well, anybody can do that.
Right.
Like, literally anybody can do that.
Me.
So to me, it's the more exciting thing to talk about is baseball right now. What happened with the Phillies game. That I thought that was pretty cool. The Phillies had fun using pencil bats for the Little League, including our own Bryson Scott. Shout out. And Tyler was referencing that earlier. That was pretty cool. Did you see the bat, Randy? It is weird. It looks just like a pencil.
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing how good how much it looks like a pencil. And I love the idea of somebody flipping through the stations, like just their TV or whatever, and flipping on and be like, wait, what? What is that? What is he doing with that? I thought that was really cool. I like the idea of Major League Baseball getting a lot smarter. Baseball has gotten much smarter in the last couple of years. You will never hear me say, way to go, Rob Manfred, or anything like that. But I will give baseball overall credit that they have been listening. And they've made some changes, obviously, with the rules that we've talked about endlessly. But it's also stuff like this. Let the kids have fun. If you are a traditionalist and you believe you hit a home run and you drop the bat, I don't mean drop the bat, you set it down on the ground and everything, you don't even drop it, you set it down and you pace the bases at the perfect pace and all this, and you keep your head down and handshake with your manager, if that's what you want, that's fine, but that ended a long time ago. To me, what do you care more about? Do you want the sport to survive? Do you want young kids to want to play the game? Or is it about you and quote-unquote traditions and all this? 424-2600. Let me have it. Let me know how you feel. Because I know there are people out there that care about these traditions. I do, too. I love tradition. I'm a Jew. Of course I love traditions. It's more about the game, though, to me. I care more about baseball surviving. I care more about my kids wanting to play baseball. Because if you haven't paid attention to everybody, Americans ain't playing baseball like they used to. Right? You look at every MLB team when we were kids, Randy, and like, oh, wow, this kid's from Guadalajara. Or wow, this kid's from Puerto Rico or something. That's interesting. Now it's like, wow, that kid's from Alabama. Huh, we got an American on the team. Like, it's night and day the way it was. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but I do worry about the kids playing the game. That part scares me. That part worries me, where it's not so much about, well, I want more Americans on teams or anything. I just want to see Americans care about baseball and keep it alive.
Well, dealing with children as I do, the word that we hear most often in life is boring.
Yeah.
This is boring. You know, and it goes across a lot of different things. And to them, if baseball's boring, they're not going to pick it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing I was just thinking about while you were speaking was the fact that at the beginning of the baseball season, before it started, we're talking about, boy, all these rule changes. How is this going to affect it? You know, it's really been minimal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the pitch clock really hasn't been a factor. And I don't know. I haven't seen the stat lately, but at one time it was like the games were 35 minutes faster.
Yes.
Right?
I saw 37 at one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, not throwing it over first base, you know, mm-hmm. the bases being closer because the base is bigger and stuff. It's really, I haven't noticed it outside the fact that if you switch a channel and come back, there's two outs. Because the game is quicker,
right.
You know?
It's a good point. I think it was much ado about nothing early on in the season from some guys, and then all quiet. I feel the same way you do. I'm a little hesitant to get too excited about it because the playoffs are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really wonder how things are going to go. I'm curious. It sounds like they're going to give these pitchers a little more time up there. They're not going to press the clock as strongly.
Mm.
I don't know about that. I don't know if they're going to do that or not, or if they're just saying it.
Mm.
I'm very curious to see what happens in the playoffs if because this is bound to happen. If we learned anything as baseball fans in our lives, statistically, everything will happen at some point. Every year there is this, and this hasn't happened since 1914 or something like that, you know? It'll happen at some point, if not this year going forward, where a game is decided. All the games in the playoffs are important. There's an important game decided by a guy not swinging or getting called out. out because he wasn't in the batter box on time, or a pitcher not getting a pitch off on time and the batter's moved to first base or something. A game is going to be decided because of these rules, and that's when I'm curious to see where people come, grabbing their pitchforks and everything and coming for Major League Baseball. I'm curious to see how that part goes. But you're right. It's been a pretty quiet season as far as the rules go.
And I think one of the things people have got to remember, it's never going to be perfect in an imperfect world, right?
Yes.
I mean, you think
yes.
of the Rams and the Saints, how that interference non-call, right? We can have all of the technology we want, and yet things like that are going to happen.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and wrap up the show with hopefully your phone calls, 424-2600. Randy James here bringing you Playmakers on WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers, everyone, brought to you by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Randy and James here. Randy, exciting weekend for golf.
Yeah.
Saw some stuff my brother couldn't stop rambling about.
You know, just before we go to that, I got to laugh and share with you from Friday night. Jennifer just said now Lowe's around 69.
Yes, yeah.
So Friday night we're doing the game, and we play weather just before we're about to sign off, and Jennifer says the temperature right now is 69, and I'm like, the score is 69. How did she know?
We got to go to Jennifer for all of our sports scores. Jennifer, we'll meet you in Vegas. We'll meet you there.
That was just too hilarious when she said that. I just thought of that again. But wow, the PGA, the BMW Championship in Illinois that took place.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Victor Hovland, right?
Yeah.
He had in the back nine. He had 8 threes, okay, and a four. Now, what happened on the four? It was a birdie because it was a par five.
Jeez.
8 threes. He shot 28 on the back nine. He shot 61 for the round. And he was, what, 3-4 back, something like that, when the day started. And he was still a couple back going into the last few holes. You know, 17 and 18 are just impossible to get birdies. I'm watching people putting, and they're missing relatively close putts. Mm-hmm. And he makes these other two, and you're just like, he was just on fire. So now the finals are set for the FedEx Cup in Atlanta next week at Eastlake. And so Scottie Scheffler, the number one seed, so he gets a 10-stroke lead right off the bat. He's 10 under par to start.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
He's 10 under.
Yeah, yeah.
Victor Hovland, because of his great finish, he's 8 under.
Nice.
McIlroy is 7 under. John Rahm is 6 under. Lucas Glover is 5 under. The next five are at 4 under, and then it goes like 3-2-1-0. So top 30 are still in it. And that was fun to watch, too. They had a replay last night. Wasn't sleeping, so I'm watching the replay. And they're showing how guys are – you got to be in the top 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because one guy who's not even in it, but it affected another person, he gets knocked out, right? Mm. The gala doesn't get in. He thought he was out, but they thought he'd be in because even though he bogeyed the hole. But then he got knocked out because somebody else made a birdie. And it was just crazy how it went up and down. But, if you like golf, that was one fun round to watch, the way that Hovland put together that 28 on the back. Man.
Exciting.
It's stuff we all dream about as golfers, right?
Right, yeah. One thing I was talking to my little brother about when it comes to the golf right now, we're certainly removed from the Tiger Woods era, I think.
Right.
As much as we love Tiger, we like to still see him out there. Nobody's expecting him to ever dominate again. Maybe you win a major, maybe you compete in a major, and that would be amazing. Just him competing, him being able to play is just amazing enough as it is.
His body's taking a toll, yeah.
We haven't seen anybody really taking over as far as the new dominant, the new Tiger, if you will. And I was curious with Nick, like, I know a lot of these names, and I'm not a diehard golf fan, and I know so many of these guys because of this guy won this week and this guy won last week. Is it better as a fan that way, or do you like the Tiger against the field kind of thing, the old PTI question? And for Nick, he got really into golf because of Tiger Woods. He was a young kid growing up in the era of Tiger and that stuff, and all, like a lot of kids of his generation, very broad into golf because of him. He's here to stay. He loves playing golf. He was part of the reason he was in town this weekend was to go over and play at Bullseye and everything. So for him, he kind of likes the variety, in his word, variety of it. Do you feel that way, Randy?
That's a good point, James, because I think back to when I was growing up, you can name 5-6 guys that just pop into your head right away. Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Johnny Miller was up there. But basically, there's always that handful, 5-10 guys, right? Now, oh my goodness, there's people, where did this person come from, right?
Yeah.
So you've got so much talent out there. And the way Scottie Scheffler was swinging yesterday, he almost tripped himself. He was swinging so hard. I think he had a 354-yard drive.
Dang.
And it wasn't even the longest drive of the day.
Wow.
Somebody went 357, I think I remember them saying. It was just like, and the fairways were narrow, so they really put on a clinic when they were hitting them long. But you've got so much talent. They just had the U.S. amateur going on. And those guys are burying putts from, 50 feet out. They're so good. It's interesting. Personally, I kind of like the variety because you never know who's going to win. I said to one of my grandsons yesterday, hey, Hovland is like, I like to watch those guys. I always look at the leaderboard and see a guy who's like four or five back because it's so amazing how many times a guy that's a four or five back comes up and wins. And they go, don't think about it, Grandpa. They don't have the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
right? They don't have to hold on to the lead. They can just let it fly. And that's kind of what Hovland did, right? He's three, four, five back, and he's just out there making birdie after birdie and having fun. And next thing you know, he's got the lead and wins it.
I think, I was talking about young kids wanting to play baseball. You're one of the best athletes in your high school. We were just talking about high school athletes. This kid plays basketball, football, baseball. It plays all these sports. Which one are you going to go into when it's go time and you got to start deciding? And they're deciding younger and younger when to just focus on one sport, which is a whole other conversation I think we should have that I think is wrong. If my son told me that he wanted to play one sport, that's different. But I'm not making my son pick one sport. Oh, it's too important. Their arm can be blown off or anything like that. Nah, I think that we had it right to begin with, the way we were doing this with these kids, where they want to play all the sports, let them. They only become better athletes from it and everything. And how many Dave Winfields are there out there where they were so good at basketball and stuff? But you know what? I like baseball more. I'm going to play baseball. Seemed to work out for Dave. I think we should let kids do that more.
Well, think of Deion Sanders, right?
Yeah,
professional football and baseball. Who was the other guy? A Bo.
Yeah. Brian Jordan did it for a cup of coffee for a little bit there too. But kind of you don't see that much anymore.
No.
Where I was worrying about young Americans playing baseball and wanting to play the game and everything anymore. Golf has been steady. Golf, tennis. I'm not saying we're kicking out the greatest athletes in the world, but you're not seeing a decline in the American athlete in these sports like you are in baseball or even to a degree basketball.
We still do pretty well in the Ryder Cup when it's the United States against the world.
It's kind of cool to see, kind of interesting for the sports that don't always get all the hype in the pub, still bringing in the athletes, still bringing in the young kids that want to play this game more than any other.
Be interesting to talk to the network executives. I would imagine that without Tiger, though, it's got to be tough.
Oh, the ratings. I don't think LIV happens if Tiger was still in full form.
Yeah,
I don't think that. I don't think that. We don't need your money. We got Tiger money. By that I mean, Tiger Woods brings in so much advertising dollars and eyeballs from fans. If you still have a Tiger Woods, even not even just Tiger, say Rory turned into the guy that everybody kind of thought he was going to be the next Tiger and stuff. Even if it was him, I don't think you have the LIV situation happen. I think you have a situation where the PGA was looking ahead and scared to death of losing half of what they've built. You take the money where you can.
And you think about Tiger, playing last year, struggling with his health and not playing much, and when he would play, he would be 15, 20 strokes off the lead, and we'd see every shot of his.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he means to the game.
Big shout-out to Tyler Miller, assistant GM with your Raptors, for joining us. That was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for being with us, Tyler.
Can we appreciate the season over again next week?
Yeah, let's play two seasons. Let's instead of two games. Two
a summer do-over and a Raptors do-over.
I like that. I'm all right with that.
You bet.
Randy won't be able to be with us for Playmakers next week. So, Randy, have yourself a good first week of school. I know that the school year's kicking off for our kids.
Wednesday, we are starting up already.
Hope all the kids have a great start to the season out there.
We'll
great
make
start
sure
to
they do.
Yeah, right on. And thank you for joining us and all the great coverage you give us, Randy. We greatly appreciate that.
You bet.
We'll be back next week with more Playmakers for you. We'll have some sports throughout the week here as well coming up. We, of course, are going to be covering more and more high school and Wisconsin sports going forward here at Civic Media. We are very proud of that. I want to say something, but I don't believe I can announce it yet, so I'm going to hold my tongue until the top of the hour so I don't get in trouble. But we got good stuff coming. People,
awesome.
Good stuff. Stick around for more great Civic Media Radio programming right here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.